person's functional capacity. Patients will typically exercise 3 days per week for about an hour each day, in addition to meeting with a nutritionist. And most cardiac rehab is paid for by insurance after you've had a heart event or a surgery. Dr. Cho says multiple studies have shown that folks who do cardiac rehab actually live longer, have fewer heart attacks, and less need for repeat hospitalization. And she urges people who don't think it's worth their time to give cardiac rehab a try.
It's really crucial because it's not just about exercise. It's about learning how to eat, learning to stop smoking, controlling your stress factors. It's really a crucial part of having a healthy life after your heart event.
I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as...
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Good morning. You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com. It's time for Chamber Radio weather. It's currently 63 degrees with sunny skies here in Flemington, New Jersey. It looks like the sun will remain around for the rest of the day today. Again, pretty much at the highs at this point with southeast winds around 5 miles an hour. For tonight, patchy fog after 4 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy with a low of 43. Tomorrow, Wednesday, look out for some fog in the morning, otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 68. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low of 49. Thursday, start to warm up a little bit, partly sunny with a high near 71. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low of 47. Friday, sunny skies with a high near 65. And so far, it's looking like a very pleasant weekend coming up with sunny skies on Saturday with a high of 64 and sunny skies on Sunday with a high near 68. That's Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good morning. You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com. It is time for some things about money. I'm Michelle Heidi. It's good to be back with me, Joe Patton, both certified financial planners with Patton Heidi and Associates located in Annandale, New Jersey. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Michelle. Welcome back. Hey, how about that debate, or actually town hall meeting, because after all, that was more, I'm not even sure that was a debate. That was sort of like a steel cage match, if you will. And confirm to me why I am not supporting either candidate. But I will get more into the why I'm not supporting Hillary Clinton later on in the show. Donald Trump, well, you know, watch the video, you know, listen to his interviews, just on and on and on, and I think that goes without saying. By very nature, I am a conservative, and I guess you would call me a fiscal libertarian and a social libertarian, but I also believe in paying your bills. But right now, I guess I'm, like many Americans, leaning towards a third party. But be that as it may, let's talk a little bit about money. Right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 137 points, 0.75% to 18,191. The S&P 500 is down 21.37, almost 1%. The NASDAQ is down 1.05%, or 56 points. Over in Europe, not quite as bad, although it is red. The DAX, the FTSE, and the CAC are all in the red. The DAX is down almost a tenth of a percent. FTSE down a little bit over a tenth, and the CAC, the same thing, a little bit over a tenth of a percent. Oil prices, well, you know, oil prices have moved lower, down to $51.01 a barrel. That's down 34 cents. Taking a look at gold, gold is currently down $4 an ounce to $12.56.40, and the 10-year Treasury yield is currently sitting at 1.76%. So that's where we are there, Michelle. I think today we're going to talk a little bit about the beginning of earnings season. Alcoa came out, missed their number. We all have heard about Samsung and the problems that they're having with the Note 7. They've actually asked retailers to remove the phone from the shelf, as the replacement phones continue to have the same fire problems as the original ones. So right now, who wins on this? Well, of course, the big winner is Apple, who will continue to pick up additional market share. And you know what a lot of people have to realize, and they probably already do, is that once you make a transition over to a platform, whether it be, you know, Apple or Android, you're not really prone to move back. So this stands to be a major loss to Samsung going forward. Right now, we're talking about $18
billion. $18 billion is what I saw,
yeah. As a loss. I mean, that is amazing.
Huge, huge loss.
And they're not going to get it back anytime soon. So, Apple, well, those shareholders are smiling from ear to ear. So, let's see. What else is going on today? We're going to talk a little bit about well, big news last week, of course, the September labor market report,
yes,
which showed the economy having created 156,000 new non-farm jobs, slightly fewer than expected, while the unemployment rate edged higher to 5% as more people look for work. The question on everyone's mind was what impact the report would have on expectations for the next Fed rate hike. As it turns out, those expectations rose fractionally for an unexpected rate hike by the Fed's December meeting, and I guess to 64% after the report, up from 63.6% the day before. And there was a similar move higher regarding the February 2017 meeting from 65.9% to 67.2%. In other words, the report was just good enough to keep expectations on track for a year-end rate hike. Now, given the importance of monetary support to this economic recovery, the focus on the Fed and its intentions is certainly understandable. It has been left on an island by fiscal authorities to support economic growth on its own. As, well, let's see, increasing discussion, if you will, as to whether the effectiveness of that reliance is running its course, but there is a problem. There are several facets to this question. One concerns the Fed's contentious overestimation of the expected pace of economic growth and the future trajectory of interest rates. The second relates to the Fed's use of communications to guide market expectations, only to be forced time and time again to back off in the face of softer than expected economic data. At the start of the year, for example, the Fed was talking about the possibility of 4-quarter point rate hikes, but a combination of volatile markets, weak data, and Brexit have resulted in greater likelihood that 1-quarter point hike is all that we will see. The same scenario of preparing markets for a rate hike through hawkish rhetoric only to defer played out once again with the Fed's September meeting. Now, the Fed's communication has evolved over time, and the pace of change has accelerated in the wake of the financial crisis. Prior to the mid-1990s, the Fed said nothing in conjunction with FOMC meetings. Investors had to wait for monetary supply data to infer the Fed's intentions. I mean, people were even talking about Alan Greenspan's briefcase. It was not until February of 1994 that the Fed first issued a statement following the FOMC meeting, and not until February of 1995 that the decision was made to issue a statement following each meeting at which a change in policy occurred. In July of that year, that a general target level for the Fed funds rate was included. In May of 1999, the decision was made to issue a statement after every meeting whether a policy change was made or not, and soon began the practice of referencing a specific Fed funds target rate. The length of statements has evolved as well. The first statement in 1994 was a total of 99 words. The most recent statement in September was five times as long. And the sophistication of the language has changed. Starting in 2000, it included an assessment of economic conditions and risk and forward guidance related to policy. In 2004, the Fed accelerated the release of meeting minutes to 3 weeks prior to each meeting, after each meeting. In 2007, it increased the frequency of its economic forecast to 2 to 4 times a year. In April 2011, the first press conference by the chairman followed an FOMC meeting took place and occurs regularly 4 times a year. In January 2012, the Fed began publishing FOMC member forecast of the level of Fed funds. Add to all of this the frequent speeches and media appearance by Fed officials, either expressing their own opinions or as suspected proxies for the chair, and it seems that we have inadvertently created a Tower of Babel of Fed speak. So what's amazing to me is that I guess they really want to have their own version of Twitter. But everybody wants to be a star.
Yes, they do.
Unfortunately, when it comes to the Fed, they haven't really been able to move the needle very much since 2008. And I like the comparison to pushing on a string, because right now, with all of their conversation and all of their activity, the economic growth in this country has been horrible at best.
Yes, it has.
So it is what it is until it isn't. So how was your week? I mean, I was watching the debates and all this stuff was going on, and I'm just shaking my head in wonderment as to how did we get here from there? I'm sitting at the restaurant last night listening to somebody just a couple of seats down talking about how, well, you know, when I go into the voting booth, I'm just going to have to probably hit, you know, the lever for all Democrats because I don't like Donald Trump. And I'm like, excuse me? You know, she's blaming the Republican Party for Donald Trump. Now, it occurs to me, and maybe I miss something here, that all through the debates, we had all of these people on the stage. In fact, we had to have two debates because there were so many of them. Mm-hmm. And it was we the people, or we the Republican voters, which I am not one of, who actually were the ones who chose Donald Trump over all of these other people. And from what I've seen since that time, the Republican Party had been doing everything in their power to have him drop out. Mm-hmm. They didn't pick him. They didn't want him. They don't want him now. And they're not going to want him regardless of what happens.
Right.
So the idea of blaming the Republican Party for the rise of Donald Trump is a little ridiculous. After all, there were a record number of Republican voters in the primaries who voted for this man.
Yes.
Not the Republican Party. So don't be so damn lazy. Go out, look at the candidates that are running for various offices in your community, in your county, in your state, and pay attention to their policies and vote according to who you think will do the best job for that job.
Exactly.
And if you're one of these lackeys who are just going to be lazy and walk into a booth and hit a lever for everybody on the slate, damn you. You're the problem in this country.
It's scary.
You are the uninformed voter who is doing stupid-ass things that are putting us in the position that we're in right now. So pay attention. If you don't like Trump, don't like Trump. But don't blame everyone else on the ticket for Donald Trump. If you don't like Hillary Clinton, don't vote for Hillary Clinton. But don't blame everybody on the Democratic ticket for her. Well, maybe you could. After all, we saw the Twitter releases again, or the email releases from WikiLeaks, excuse me, talking about how Donna Brazile was like dumping information in the Clinton campaign to help her, and there was more stuff going on about other things they were doing to go after Bernie Sanders, and excerpts from the speeches to Wall Street. Wow, is she in their pockets? And, of course, her comment about how she has to have a public policy and a private policy, thus, once again, admitting that she's lying to the American people. But we'll talk a little bit more about that when I give you my whole laundry list about why I don't like her and will never vote for her. And with that, I think we're going to take our first break of the show. Make sure you send all of your emails out hating me for my comments. And that's perfectly okay because, you know, we love you. And if it wasn't for your hate, we probably wouldn't have a radio show. But that's another story.
All right. We'll be back after the break. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on 100inchamberradio.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we're back. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on 100inchamberradio.com. Again, this is Michelle Heidi with me, Joe Patton, both certified financial planners with Patton Heidi & Associates. Can you believe that it was almost 8 years ago that Warren Buffett wrote his Buy America, I Am op-ed article in New York Times? Buffett encouraged investors to be fearful when others are greedy and be greedy when others are fearful. His letter was released less than 5 months before the stock market bottomed out on good old March 9th of 2009, ending a 57% decline of the S&P 500.
Good times.
Good times. Remember those times quite well. Hard to believe. It's 8 years ago.
I know, and we're celebrating that today. And now the Dow's down 160 points. The S&P's down 23. The Nasdaq's down 62. Europe continues to be down. Oil continues to be down. Gold continues to be down. The 10-year Treasury continues to be down. And, you know, the third quarter earnings season officially underway. As I mentioned, Alcoa came out and missed. So they're down. Well, a number of the world's largest financial institutions are scheduled to report on Friday. You know, over the following weeks, the barrage of third quarter earnings will provide investors with a fresh perspective on the quarter that was as well as a glimpse into the overall health of corporate America. Some people are actually now calling for an increase in earnings. We'll see. Analyst consensus estimates for companies of the S&P 500 index show earnings per share as expected to be down 2.4% year over year. During the third quarter. I'm looking at all of this, and I just shake my head. Earnings are flat or down. You take a look at wages. The unemployment number ticked up. We still have people severely underemployed. The GDP number was revised downward to 1.8%. We're still looking at negative interest rates in Europe, on and on and on. And yet we're seriously talking about an increase in interest rates in the December Fed meeting. So kind of makes you wonder, Michelle, what are these people looking at that we're missing? I just don't understand. But that's okay. I mean, Europe down again. Asia equities finished mixed today. China State Council announced yesterday that actually the guidelines detailing its debt-to-equity swap program, the corporate deleveraging program, will not force banks to swap debt for equity, while heavily indebted companies with little hope of surviving will not qualify for the program. Additionally, government officials encourage banks to transfer bad loans to asset management companies or bad banks. Separately, a recent Reuters poll indicated that a majority of survey participants believe the Bank of Japan could remain on hold through the rest of the year. However, a small number believe that helicopter money, don't you love helicopter money, and further easing measures out of the Bank of Japan are still on the table for 2016. So Europe is a little bit concerned about the whole Brexit thing. One of the reasons we're down today there. And, it's just strange. Oil prices retreating. They're looking at earnings. They're not happy with either one of those in Europe. So a lot of red on the screen. I think with the WikiLeaks releases, it got the markets a little bit upset as well, because I think now Hillary's only 70% favored to win the election to Donald's 30. And Wall Street, although they like the odds, would like to see it a little bit less close. So let's see, what else should we talk about? You want to talk about Hillary, or do you want to talk about drugs?
Oh, let's talk about drugs.
Okay.
Drugs in the sense of pharmaceutical drugs. Did you realize that there is such a thing called the pharmaceutical black box labels?
More than just a black box from an aircraft, because, well, both will get you high, but just, I digress.
What they are and why they are important. And this all has to do with limitations, advertising, things of that nature. So, the Food and Drug Administration mandates warnings be placed on the labels of prescription drugs with side effects that can lead to serious injury or death. Yes, when I see those, why would anyone take any type of medication when the list of side effects is so darn long? But anyway.
Same reason they climb rock cliffs? I don't know.
That's true. Officially termed a boxed warning by the agency, the verbiage is displayed in the upper left of the full prescribing information section of the drug's label. Drugs with such a label are banned from what the FDA considers, quote-unquote, reminder ads, the type that display the name of the drug but do not include a list of side effects. Advertising limitations are just one effect a black box warning can have on a drug's commercial potential. So for some indications, black box warnings can severely limit a new drug's chances of a successful commercial launch. For example, MannKind's Afrezza began with a black box warning that required physicians to perform a detailed medical history, physical exam, and lung strength test. Aren't those all kind of basics of, for the most part, with the exception of the lung strength test, of having a physical anyway? But anyway.
Well.
That was required before prescribing the inhalable insulin product. With plenty of options available for diabetics that did not require jumping through these hoops, Afrezza's initial launch was a flop. So I guess the doctors felt that they didn't have to go through that detailed medical history or anything, that they could just write a prescription for some other drug. Black box warnings added after a drug gains a significant market, however, are not always detrimental to sales growth. Humira from AbbVie is one of the world's most popular anti-inflammatory drugs, with annual sales of $14 billion in 2015, a 12% increase over 2014. This medication continued its growth trajectory despite the addition of a black box warning in 2009 that cited an increased risk from certain forms of cancer. The FDA applied similar warnings to other drugs of the same class as Humira, which may have mitigated its detrimental effect. So interesting little tidbits when you think about medications, the healthcare world, and the investment world.
Yes.
Still drives me nuts, and nothing against pharmaceutical sales reps, because of course I knew a lot of them that I graduated with from college. You know, getting out there and talking to the doctors is always a good thing, but it still drives me nuts that they're still allowed to
wine
and
dine them. Well, I'm glad they have jobs, because after all, what would former cheerleaders do other than be pharmaceutical reps?
But again, it's the old wining and dining to encourage them to write prescriptions for certain types of medications, which may or may not be in your best interest as a patient. I mean, I know that the doctors don't have as much time as they used to be able to research all of that on their own, so it's important to have people to share information with them, but it always just throws up a little bit of a red flag for me.
As I'm sitting here coughing. That you're really up with some drugs?
Nope, I'll take my vitamin C and my herbs.
I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
My herbs from Basil Bandwagon, not the other kind of herbs.
Okay.
Just
wanted to make sure. Now, we had some bad news over the, recently. The King, Arnold Palmer, passed away. And big fan. My dad was a huge fan.
As was mine.
That's how I got involved in golf as a child, watching Arnold Palmer and Arnie's Army. But, Arnold Palmer won $184,065 during the 1967 PGA golf season, and that was winning four times. It was his best earnings year ever on the links. Rory McIlroy, he won $11.53 million on September 25th of this year, the day of Arnold's death, by winning the PGA Tour Championship in sudden death and clinching the season-long FedEx Cup. One day. Wow. So, I guess kind of, smoke them if you got them, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we're getting to that time where people have to file after extending their tax return forms.
Mm-hmm.
The 410,298,000 tax returns for the year 2014 that reported at least $1 million in adjusted growth in income, again, representing 0.28% of all tax returns filed, and slightly more than a quarter of 1% of the returns filed, received 14% of all adjusted gross income nationwide. But they paid 27.6% of all of the federal income tax that was paid nationally in 2014.
Wow.
So that's a large percentage for such a small percentage.
Yes, it is. And let's talk about the national debt.
Oh,
national
I love
debt
that.
As of September 30th was $8.507 trillion. That's a T as in Tom.
As of?
The national debt as of Thursday, did I say 2016? That was 2006, yes.
Yeah.
National debt as of Thursday, the 29th of September of this year, was $19.533 trillion. Thus, the national debt has increased just over $11 trillion over the last 10 fiscal years. Basically, more than $1 trillion.
Is that what they're referring to when they say that if you added up all of the debt created by all of the presidents of the United States up until this one, it did not equal what Barack Obama, his administration, has created in terms of national debt? This is the same administration that accused George W. Bush of not being patriotic or being un-American to have it go up as much as he did, which is not even close.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So I guess that and the policy of helicopter money and quantitative easing and all of that good stuff, which really hasn't worked very well, has held it down. What do I mean by that? Well, low interest rates have been held down.
Yes, they have.
And the debt has been held lower because of those low interest rates that have been applied against the actual principal amount of the debt. Otherwise, what would have happened? It would have been even more costly mm-hmm. because when interest rates go higher...
Your payments go higher.
Your payments Ooh. Go higher. Works for everybody else that way, right? Mm-hmm. And could it be that one of the reasons why the Fed has been doing a lot of talking but not taking a lot of action because they know that a lot of this debt is rolling over the next couple of years and will have to be refinanced at whatever the current interest rates are. So if they raise interest rates, doesn't that increase in the cost of servicing that $19-plus trillion in debt?
Can't even imagine the monthly debt payment on this.
And where do you think the payment on that debt comes from? Let me think for
a second. Let me reach into my pockets here.
Do you happen to have enough to cover it, Michelle?
There's a little bit of lint in there.
Because I don't have it. hey, folks, could you kick in a few extra dollars because, we really need the money to pay the bills this month for, to cover our national debt. We can't be, not paying our debt because, after all, this is the good old U.S. of A., and we can't be like other countries in default. And so we're just going to have to put more responsibility on the people who have money. And quite frankly, if 27.6% of the debt is already being paid by the rich and, the likely winner of the next presidential election – wants more health care, wants free college, and all this other free stuff as a continuation of this administration, on top of the increase in cost of the debt service, where do you think that money's coming from? Well, if you don't have enough rich people, it's kind of like, the goose laid a golden egg. After you've eaten all of the eggs, you go after the goose. And who is the goose in this case? Probably the middle class. And after all, that is one of the things I wanted to cover about one of the reasons I don't like her, because she did say that more than likely the middle class will have to pay more. Or we'll just redefine what middle class is. Smoke and mirrors. And so you'll feel better because they'll probably say that you're now rich, even though your income has gone down over the last 10 years, or at least your purchasing power has. But that'll be the justification for going after your money because all of a sudden you become one of them. I'm giving you the voice sound effects as we approach Halloween.
Yes.
And so be prepared because, as President Obama once said, and it is true, elections have consequences. And for all the ideology that they espouse, the fact of the matter is debt has to be paid.
Yes, it does.
And when there's just so much of it where there aren't enough rich people to pay, they're coming after you and I. So with that lovely thought, I think we'll go to the bottom of the hour break.
The bottom of the hour and see what other exciting, positive news is going on around the world. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on 100inchamberradio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
About a month ago, it was the new thing in smartphones. Now Samsung is discontinuing the Galaxy Note 7.
The tech giant is ending production and sales of the smartphone after reports the battery can catch fire. Samsung says anyone with an original Note 7 or a replacement should power down and stop using the device.
That's correspondent Sarah Roberts. Donald Trump ramping up his attacks against House Speaker Paul Ryan for not supporting him. Trump tweeting today, quote, "Our very weak and ineffective leader Paul Ryan had a bad conference call where members went wild at his disloyalty." Trump referring to the speaker's decision to no longer defend or campaign with him after the remarks that Trump made back in 2005 about women. Last night, in a veiled reference to Ryan, Trump said at a rally in Pennsylvania,
"You know, you have people that can't fix a budget, but then they start talking about their nominee."
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
It is 11:35 and time for 100andchamberradio.com weather. It is currently 60 degrees with sunny skies here in Flemington, New Jersey. For today, sunny skies with a high near 65, light winds at around 5 miles an hour. For tonight, low of 43. Next couple of days are looking sunny as well. Wednesday with a high near 68, Thursday high near 71. Friday going back down into the mid-60s, and looks like the weekend, as of so far, will be mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 60s. That's 100andchamberradio.com weather. And now we're back to some things about money. Before I get started back into our conversation, I wanted to share an upcoming event through the Chamber of Commerce. This Thursday, we have the 5th Annual October Card Club being hosted by Anita's Angels and North Star Tutors. That's over at the Countryside Plaza North on Route 31 in Flemington. Always a fun night out. An evening of good food, beer and wine, toe-tapping music, and, of course, great conversations. You can contact the Chamber at 782-7115 or go to www.100-chamber.org. So that's always a fun time. I think I'll head over there for a little while and say hello to Tom Bay and all the other folks over there.
Yeah, they do a fabulous job.
They really do.
Well, let's see. Good TV. No, I'm not necessarily referring to the debate. 84 million Americans had watched the first debate on Monday between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. I'm referring to the 114.4 million Americans who watched Super Bowl number 49 in 2015 between the Patriots and the Seahawks. The most watched telecast in U.S. history. That was far more important than who's going to run this country. But I wonder if it was any of the baby boomers responsible for that, because right now they're a little bit concerned about things like pension, because 72% of baby boomers do not have a corporate pension plan. That's a total of 56 million boomers. Baby boomers, of course, are traditionally defined as the 78 million Americans ages 52 to 70 in 2016. So that would be people born between 1946 and 1964. Also football fans, but they tend to come out and vote, which is a good thing.
And I'm sure we've already heard by now that the California Public Employees Retirement System, so CalPERS, as everyone has heard of, which is one of those pension systems that people are always like, ooh, how do they invest? They do such a good job. Well, their lousy math basically stated or projected that their pension would grow from $159.1 billion back in 1999 to $613.5 billion by this year, due to assuming an 8.25% annualized rate of return plus yearly contributions. Well, the actual fund size this year was just $295.1 billion. So over that time frame, grew from $159.1 billion to just $295.1 billion. So I know that they have been making adjustments to their portfolio to try and figure out where to go from here.
Yeah, and that is a rather diversified portfolio. So
yes, it is.
Normally, diversification is used to minimize the level of risk in that portfolio, and you're not really looking to chase performance. You're looking to minimize the potential for loss. So to have a target of 8% return in this economic environment,
exactly.
Let's talk about herbs again, but I just don't understand that one.
No, especially for a pension system, you always want to be ultra, at least in my opinion, you want to be, more conservative than you normally would be, because you're dealing with a lot of the standards related to
pension funds and managing money and all that other good stuff. They should have incorporated a lot of the risks involved with the various markets that are out there, which is what I wanted to talk about for a few minutes here before you get into your discussion
yes,
about
risk, another four-letter word.
So as our listeners know, because we've talked about this before, but risk means more than just losing money. There are many different types of risks out there involved in the stock market, the bond market, commodities, alternatives, you name it. There are risks out there. Well, common business risks include things like management risk, also known as company risk, which encompasses a wide array of factors that can impact the value of a specific company. For example, if the managers who run a company make a bad decision or get embroiled in a scandal, that could cause a drop in the value of the company's stocks or bonds. Alternatively, a key competitor might release a better product or service. There's also credit risk, which is also called default risk, which is the chance that a bond issuer will fail to make interest payments or pay back your principal when your bond matures. So by contrast, market risk, sometimes referred to as systematic risk, involve factors that affects the overall economy or securities markets. It's the risk that an overall market will decline, bringing down the value of an individual investment in a company, regardless of their growth, revenues, earnings, management, and capital structure. So a very basic illustration to understand the concept of market risk that everyone can relate to. Let's say you decide to buy a car. You can buy a brand new car under full warranty, or you can buy a used car with no warranty. Your choice will depend on a variety of factors, like how much money you want to spend, which features you want, how mechanical you are, and of course, your risk tolerance. As you research different vehicles, you'll find that some makes and models have better performance and repair histories than others. But whichever car you choose, you're going to face certain risks on the road which have nothing to do with the car itself, but which can significantly impact your driving experience, including the weather, road conditions, even animals, especially out here in Hunterdon County, crossing the highway at night. While these factors may be out of your control, being aware of them can help you prepare to navigate them successfully. So a few of the common market risks include things such as interest rate risk, which you've heard us talk about before, especially over the past couple months with all of this chatter and the Fed raising rates. Well, interest rate risk relates to the risk of reduction in the value of a security due to changes in interest rates. Interest rates, as we all know, directly affect bonds because as rates rise, the price of a previously issued bond falls. Conversely, when interest rates fall, bond prices rise. We also have inflation risk, which is the risk that general increases in prices of goods and services will reduce the value of money and likely negatively impact the value of investments. So, of course, let's say the price of a loaf of bread increases from $1 to $2. Very basic example. We all know it costs a lot more than that for a loaf of bread these days. So in the past, $2 would buy two loaves, but now $2 can only buy the one loaf, resulting in a decline in purchasing power.
Yeah, I know. I buy ancient grains bread, and that's really expensive.
It is very expensive. We also have currency risk. You know, comes into play if money needs to be converted to a different currency to buy or sell an investment. So in such instances, any change in the exchange rate between that currency and U.S. dollars can increase or reduce your investment return. You know, so for instance, you know, last week when the British pound fell significantly in a very short period of time, that could have significantly affected an investment that you had that was in British pounds being converted to U.S. dollars. We also have liquidity risk, which is the risk of not being able to buy or sell an investment quickly for a price that tracks the true underlying value of the asset. Socio-political risk, which involves the impact on the market in response to political and social events, such as terrorist attacks, wars, pandemic, or elections. Such events, whether actual or anticipated, can affect investor attitudes towards the market in general, thus resulting in system-wide fluctuations in stock prices. Again, may have nothing to do whatsoever about the underlying strength of a company. It's just one of those risks that is out there. Country risk, similar to socio-political, but tied to the foreign country in which the investment is made. Legal remedies risk. This is a relatively new one. Not that it's new, but legal remedies risk is the risk that if you have a problem with your investment, you may not have adequate legal means to resolve it. So, for instance, when investing in an international market, you often have to rely on the legal measures available in that country to resolve problems.
You mean when Leon Cooperman is accused of insider trading? Here in the United States, you have to – they, like Ken Langone, had to spend like $13 million defending himself and winning that case against the government because you have no recourse to go back to the government to pay your legal fees the way you do in Great Britain. So the government can come after you, say anything they want, strong arm you in order to get money or an admission of guilt. It's just that we want some cash out of you because we don't like you for whatever reason, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Exactly. So while you cannot completely avoid all of these various types of risks, there are a couple things you can do to try and minimize your risk. You hear us talk about this all this time. Diversify. Well, not having all of your eggs in one basket, pretty much a no-brainer. And then doing your homework. So learning about the forces that can impact your investment, staying abreast of global economic trends and developing. If you're considering investing in a particular sector, for example, aerospace, read about the future of that particular industry. If you're thinking about investing in foreign securities, learn as much as you can about the market history and volatility, sociopolitical stability, trading practices, market and regulatory structure, etc., etc. You always want to factor in all of these things when putting together your portfolio and realizing that even investing 100% of your portfolio in a CD does have risks attached to it. Those primary risks being inflation risk and interest rate risk. So always want to do your homework, folks. You hear us say that over and over again.
Yes, you do. And one of the things in homework, you want to keep an eye on the markets right now. The Dow's down 170 points. The S&P's down 21. The NASDAQ's down 62. So we continue to ease lower. So, Michelle, I think we have one more break. And then when we come back, I will tell you about the candidates.
All right, we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
All right, we're back to wrap up today's show. This is Michelle Heidi with me, Joe Patton, both certified financial planners with Patton, Heidi & Associates, located in Annandale, New Jersey. We can be reached at 908-713-6600. So, Joe, wanted to give you plenty of time.
Yeah, well, thank you, Michelle. I want to start off by asking everybody a question. You can think of the answer in your own heads. What do Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, Ronald Reagan, George Bush, and Gary Johnson all have in common? All governors, and knew very little about what was going on internationally because they were too busy running many countries called states, and all did so somewhat successfully. So when I find it, I really do find it interesting that a person like Johnson is getting hammered for not knowing Aleppo or being able to name a world leader. Brain freeze, whatever. But you know what? What did successfully run a state in terms of jobs, budgeting, bringing people together, programs, education, all of that, and you know, he gets trashed for those two things. Well, he really didn't need to know those things in the job, but most of what he did in the state of New Mexico is desperately needed in this country right now. Donald Trump says horrible things. I grew up watching him on television, reading about him in newspapers, about his, you know, wives, family, business dealings, all of the stuff that's being brought up and how he has a huge ego and now how he hates women, although most people who work for him are women. And I guess he was the first person to appoint a woman in charge of a major construction project in the country. And his daughter runs the business, and you can go on. And, you know, what he did with a number of people in terms of support, both women, Hispanics, and blacks. But, you know, it makes for good politics to bring up a couple of sound bites of him 11 years ago or, you know, drag out a few other people who say he said a nasty thing about them. Or And it just drives me crazy that we're spending so much time going after Trump on what he said when we have an opportunity to actually look at a track record, and that would be that of Hillary Clinton. So here are some of the things that I found distasteful and reasons why I will not vote for her, and, you know, I already said I'm not going to vote for him. After she was subpoenaed by Congress, she lied to Congress. Got away with it. You know, when she was young and worked, I guess, doing some investigative work on the Watergate committee, she got fired from the job for being unethical. There's a surprise. Again, in no apparent order, she deleted over 30,000 emails after she was ordered to hand them over. And, you know, things that were on the server, and just refused to hand that over to the feds, lied to the American people about Benghazi, lied about the parents, said that what they said that she said to them as it related to their dead family members over Benghazi. And again, you know, over and over has been lying to the American people about her emails, lied about being under sniper fire after landing in Bosnia, lied about actually lying to the American people. You know, was involved in Cash Cow, was tied to Monsanto. You know, she's a career politician. I just have complete distasteful feelings for that. Was labeled extremely careless about national security by FBI Director Comey. And then she said that he was wrong. Said she would raise taxes on the middle class in order to pay for all of the spending programs that we've been talking about. Benefited from the Democratic National Committee rigging the primary election against Bernie Sanders. And then hired the person responsible to work with her on her campaign. Really? We all remember, I mean, some of us who are old enough remember when her and her husband had to return stolen items, furniture from the White House after they were gone. Actually has come out and said that you should vote for her based upon her gender. How insulting is that?
Extremely insulting.
I mean, she's been investigated by the FBI and found to have put our national security at risk, coming from Comey's mouth. Made Congress, and this is how they spin it. Congress spent millions and millions of dollars having hearings and investigating her so they could find out that, you know, she lied again. And that all that money could have been saved if she simply told the truth in the first place. And who got to pay that? We the people. The foundation received millions of dollars from private citizens after granting access to her as Secretary of State. Approved the uranium deal, giving the Russians 20% of the strategic metal uranium. Oh, and by the way, Bill got $500,000 from them as a speaking fee. Her people received immunity from prosecution and then still refused to testify before Congress. You know, the only risk they had would be if they lied before Congress. They'd already received immunity from prosecution. So why wouldn't they testify? She wants to give free college education to a huge percentage of students who really aren't even prepared for college. And they're going to fail out at huge expense to the taxpayers. She wants to allow thousands of unvetted Syrians into this country against the recommendations of our national security experts and agencies. From a tax standpoint, she wants to take away the step-up in basis that all family beneficiaries are entitled to. You know, what does that mean? Well, you sell your house, your parents' house. They bought it for, I don't know, $10,000 50 years ago. It's now worth $500,000. The kids get it valued at $500,000. And $490,000 goes to the family without having to pay income tax. She wants to make that taxable. You don't hear a lot of that, but she said it. You know, she's telling everybody that Donald Trump lost $1 billion in 1 year. Donald Trump took advantage of the tax laws that she didn't change. And his tax advisors accumulated those losses and told him when to take it. And if you recall, back in the early 90s, it was a horrible time for commercial real estate. All developers were losing money left and right all over the country. And he did what any business person did, followed the rules, and he used that to rebuild his fortune. Didn't do anything wrong. And as he said, many of the people that are supporting her and giving money to her candidacy have been doing the same thing. She even denied being Secretary of State in 2012 when President Obama drew his red line in Syria as it related to Assad's use of chemical weapons. She was Secretary of State in 2013. Guess she just forgot. And of course, WikiLeaks released the information again that she has two separate positions, one that she has in private about what she's really going to do, and what she and one that she tells you, the people, what she's planning on doing. And she thinks that that's perfectly okay. And then she's always used the excuse, you know, when said, well, you know, you're a liar. Well, politicians are politicians. They all do the same thing. But, you know, when you look at Reagan, you had Iran-Contra, Bush, you had weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And, you know, there are other cases, Kennedy talking about Cuban Missile Crisis, Lyndon Johnson, Gulf of Tonkin, Kennedy, of course, Bay of Pigs. They all stretch the truth for what they believed was in the best interest of the United States. The Clintons, they lie for personal gain and to protect themselves. And that's a huge difference. So, and I can go on, but we're running up against the end of the show. I just want to thank you for listening, and I want you to go out and vote. I want you to pay attention to the candidates that are out there. And we'll talk more about this before the election. But don't just walk into the booth and hit a lever for a political party. Do some work. Step up. Be an informed voter, an informed American, and do what you think is in the best interest of the country, not the party. Because that's what we need at this point in our country's history. We need Americans to take America back and to do what they think is right for the country. And not because somebody's going to give you something, or not because somebody who told you you should like because they like them. I mean, you need to figure this out for yourself, and you need to get the facts. I'm cursed or blessed, depending on how you want to look at it, with being in a position that allows me to spend most of my time gathering information around events of the world, what's happening here in the United States, and we use that for the benefits of our clients and our business as it relates to the markets. But a byproduct of that is having access to all of this information. And if you don't think that that weighs heavily, you'd be wrong. Because when you know, you have a responsibility to share that knowledge with other people. And that's how I feel. So I'm hoping that you listen to this and go out, do the work, find out who you feel is in the best interest of you, your community, and this country. And don't worry about the politics. Don't worry about the party. Don't worry about the union. It's we the people, and we're in this together.
All right. Thank you, Joe, and thank you for tuning in to Some Things About Money. We'll be back again next Tuesday. We have a special guest, Amara Wiley, who's a professional organizer, coming in on our show to talk about organizing your finances, which always seems to be a bit daunting for a lot of folks, but she'll come in and share some tips and tricks with us. We look forward to having her. In the meantime, have a great day, good week. Don't forget to buy local and buy Hunterdon.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.